ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I think it is so important that we take in God's Word on a daily basis. The bread from heaven to feed our soul and produce health, strength, and growth for our spiritual lives. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You see, we're born again by taking in the word of God, applying it then to our lives, and believing the scriptures and growing in the faith. And God's word is eternal. Again, I think it was a French philosopher, Voltaire, said that after his death, within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity will be done away with. That's a pretty bold statement. And God is not mocked. God vindicates his people. And what happened was the Geneva Bible Society bought Voltaire's home and printed Bibles from his house. Voltaire is long gone. The word of God stands forever. Praise God. Never be swayed, guys. Now, Jesus just spoke to them about the true bread from heaven, eternal life, speaking about himself, what he's got for them. And their response is confusion. Look at John 6:34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Think about what Jesus has shown them so far. You know, first in their response to their question back in John 6:28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Again, they were just asking Jesus what they needed to do to get to heaven. You know, the law said you had to keep this, you had to do that, you can't do this. So what do we need to do to get into heaven? And Jesus said in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. In other words, you can't work your way into heaven. You have to believe in Jesus, the Savior, the one that the Father sent to save us from our sins. And they didn't get that. They wanted a sign, and Jesus gives them the sign from heaven, the bread of life that the Father sent down. Not the bread that came down in the wilderness, the manna, but Jesus, God Almighty, came down, the one who gives eternal life. And the second point is seen as Jesus finished speaking with them. The response is, Lord, give us this bread always. Like, what is that about? They're missing the point that Jesus made. They wanted material bread. Hey, you know, provide for us all the time. You know, kind of like the man in the wilderness. Just give it to us every single day. No, we got more bread coming. This is awesome. We can live like this. Give it to us always. Thinking on the physical level. And it's not genuine faith. When Willow Creek back in Chicago was started, years ago, when I lived out there, they went around the neighborhood asking people in the neighborhood, what do you want in a church? What kind of church do you want? What kind of things do you want in a church? And they came back together and put together a church that was to meet the needs of the people. Well, really the superficial needs. You know, you can't talk about sin. You can't do this. You can't do that. Yeah, that's pretty much what they did. That's why we call it seeker-friendly. You know, doctrine was not that important to them. It was negated. And many don't see this as a problem. Aren't we supposed to meet the needs of the people? I'll tell you what, there's one way, you know, to meet the needs of the people. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved candy and ice cream. I loved that. I would eat it 24/7. But I had a mom who really loved me and cared for me. And she never gave it to me that much. Once in a while. What did she give me? The things I needed to grow physically. I needed that to grow physically. That's why I'm so tall. Now, it's probably all the sugar kept me small. I don't know. Probably my dad and mom are not that tall. That's probably the big reason. But again, look at what we're told is to happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, notice what Paul tells this young pastor. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to seek teachers. They're going to heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You see, here's the thing. I don't have to go around and canvass the neighborhood to see what people want in a church. Why? Because God has already told me what the focus of the church is to be. Preach the word. When I first came up here, the Lord gave me what this church was to be about. In fact, that's one of the songs Chris Johnson wrote for a radio or for a radio program, The Sustaining Word. And it comes right out of Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's what the early church was about, and that's what we're to be about. And so many people today say, oh, we want, this is the early, our church is like the early church. Well, is this what your church is doing? Because this was the early church. And is it easy? No. But you have to be ready to teach and preach the word of God. You do it when people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. You're to convince them that the scriptures are true. You're to rebuke them as you teach the word of God and expose their sin. God convicts them as the word of God is spoken. You exhort them to continue on in the faith, not to give up, but to forge ahead. And we need that today. We need that encouragement as there's such a battle out there. And you know what was said by Paul, what he wrote prior to saying preach the word? Something to me that is really, really important. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, God's word is breathed to us from God himself, and it's profitable. It tells us what's right, tells us what's wrong, tells us how to get right when we've gone astray, and tells us how to stay right. And the end result of preaching and teaching the word of God is that the man of God is going to be complete. He's going to be ready for every good work, thoroughly equipped. But the problem comes when people don't want to hear it any longer and they search for teachers who will tickle their ears, tell them fairy tales, and they end up ignoring the truths of God found in the word of God. Paul's saying, Timothy, don't let this stop you. You're going to face intense persecution. People are going to come against you. Forge ahead. Continue on in the work. And I love the fact here in John, chapter 6, Jesus doesn't give up on these people. Even with all this confusion on their part, their carnality, you might say, he's going to keep teaching them. And we'll see that in a few minutes. But again, there are those who close their ears to God's word. They close their heart to the Holy Spirit's leading. They don't want to hear it anymore. And the problem is, the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Paul said they're in 1 Corinthians 2, they're foolishness to him. And how could they know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. I remember it was, some science fiction writer had wrote a commentary on the Bible. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I picked it up in an old bookstore, and I thought, all he said was ridiculous. It was so, it's like, where do you even get this from? This is not what it's even saying. And then God reminded me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Of course, how does he write a commentary on the Bible when he doesn't even know the God who wrote the Bible? And that's why it's so foolish. They need to be born again. And for these people here in John chapter 6, and it's for people really today, Bruce said what they wanted, Jesus wouldn't give them. What Jesus offered them, they would not receive, and that's the tragedy always. That's the crux of it. People want God to give them this and that, and they reject what God has for them. And it's far more important than anything on the physical level. It's eternal life. The world is really good at this. The advertisement industry, they can sell you anything. It's amazing. And we need to be careful because they entice us. Oh, you got to have this. If you don't have that, come on. It's the iPhone 264, or whatever. I don't know what number they're on right now, but I'm sure it's way up there. And you got to have the latest one. But does it satisfy? No, because then there's the iPhone 265 or whatever, you know? It's the next one. True happiness is never found in material things. Again, like I said, it's found in the Lord. If you can be content in Him, nothing's going to stop you. And if you doubt that material things could satisfy, look at the life of Solomon. He had everything, more than anyone ever had. And what did he say? All this is empty. It's vanity. It's like trying to grasp the wind. I'm trying to find satisfaction. I can't get it. Or like Mick Jagger said, I just can't get no satisfaction, right? I can't get it. Why? Because it's not found under the sun, under God. It's found in the Son of God. That's where our true satisfaction is found. In fact, Jesus even said that in Luke 12:15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Absolutely. Can you take it with you? You can't. As Christians, we can send it on ahead, but you can't take it with you. And I'm not saying we can't enjoy things. We can. God's blessed us with so much. But don't lose sight. Don't think those things are going to make you happy, because they won't. What's the answer? Well, you know the answer, but Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And look at verse 35 here in John chapter 6. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here in John 6:35, we see the first of seven I am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. Again, pointing to his deity. It's the name of God. We see this out of Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14, where we're told, Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am, he said. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moses, at this point in his life, he's been living out in the desert. He was a nobody. He tried to do it his own way in Egypt to deliver the children of Israel 40 years earlier. Now he's 80 years old, been shepherding in the wilderness and the desert for 40 years, and the Lord's calling him. And Moses is worried. Hey, it didn't work out the first time. What do you want me to tell these guys when I go back to see them? Who should I say sent me to them? And the Lord says, I am the eternal one, the all-becoming one, has sent him. The Hebrew is, the consonants were YHWH. They didn't write in the vowels because they wanted to honor the name of the Lord. They didn't want to say the name of the Lord. So how is it pronounced? Well, a lot of speculation. Some say Yahweh. I believe it is Yahweh. Others say Jehovah. We're not really sure. The combination of the consonants are called the tetragrammaton, or four letters, pretty simple. But we see many names of God, same God, but just how he meets us where we're at. And here's the amazing thing. You know, when you go through the Old Testament, look at these names of God. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who hears. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner. Yahweh Emkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Yahweh Shalom, Lord our peace. Yahweh Elohim, Lord God. Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Rai, the Lord our shepherd. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Here in Exodus 3, it's speaking of Almighty God. And we see this in other Old Testament verses. And here, now we come to the Gospel of John. And we see this I am statement. And who is it attributed to? Oh, Jesus. What is he doing? He's saying, I'm Almighty God. I'm the voice of the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And these seven I am statements we're going to cover in the Gospel of John over the next, I said several weeks. Well, yeah, several weeks or so. I am the bread of life. We see that here in John. I am the light of the world. I'm the door. I am the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. And I'm the vine. Ego am I in the Greek. In fact, in John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Do you think Jesus ever said that he was God? All the time. All the time. He's our all becoming one. I don't care what you're going through in life, be it sickness, job problems, marriage problems, anything. He's our all becoming one. He meets us where we're at. We can lay our requests at his feet and just come to him and receive that peace and comfort that only he can give. I think that's what Jesus was saying to Moses in Exodus 3. Moses, don't worry. I am with you. You have nothing to fear. Almighty God is with you, Moses. Let him know that. He's not the great I was or the great I will be. He's the great I am. And why did John write this gospel? Well, John 20, verses 30 through 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Why? Why are these written? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the whole reason he wrote the gospel. That you may believe Jesus is Almighty God. And here in John 6:35, he says, I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's the source of eternal life, our great I am. And we will never hunger or thirst again when we come to him. And in the Greek, it's emphatic. You will always be filled. Your thirst will always be met in him, spiritually speaking. Now, again, some say, oh, Christians don't have any food. They go hungry. They don't have clean water. So how could Jesus say you're never going to hunger or thirst again? Again, he's speaking of spiritual things here. Remember, the crowd that followed him were thinking on a physical level. He wants them to think on a spiritual level. Our hunger for God is met in Jesus. Our thirst for the things of God is met in Jesus. The becoming one has become the bread of life for our spirits to partake of. And this is an invitation to come and partake of him. Morris put it like this. He said, this verse should not be regarded as an abstract statement. It constitutes an appeal. Since Jesus is the bread of life, men are invited to come to him and to believe on him. Let's not make this real complicated here. The work was completed by Jesus, and we have a choice to either receive that free gift that's only found in him or reject it. It's that simple. But again, there's always the skeptics of eternal life. Jesus said in John 6:36, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. You've seen the things I've done. You heard the things I've said and yet you're still not believing. Why? Because it's a matter of the heart. You don't have to believe, but you've seen, and in spite of all the evidence, you choose to reject the invitation of eternal life that's only found in Jesus. And we have the security of eternal life. You know, when I was a Roman Catholic, and I was a really horrible Roman Catholic, I didn't believe any of the stuff they said. But for me, I could never know I would get into heaven. Never. In fact, I would have to go to purgatory. I'd probably never get out because I was not very good. But as a Christian, I can know that I have eternal life. Again, just listen to what Jesus said in verses 37 through 40 here in John 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Jesus is not going to say, I don't think so, Joe. He's not going to cast me out. Why? Because I'm in him. He's in me. He says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. All who come to Jesus, he's not going to lose any of us. And I lose things all the time, but Jesus doesn't. Thank you, Lord. And I know people struggle with this whole idea of losing their salvation because they don't feel worthy enough. And I understand that. Because for humans, we always think we have to do something. We have to be good enough to earn something. But God did it all for us. He paid it in full, and the penalty for sin for us. And Paul said in Colossians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we could ask ourselves some questions about this. Who began a good work in us? Well, Jesus did, right? Yeah. Who's going to complete the good work that was begun in us? It doesn't say that we're going to do it. It says that God will complete the work in us that he started. And that gives me great comfort and great hope. Again, it's so easy to lose sight of that because sometimes we fail miserably. But if we really have come to Christ, and as Christ convicts us of our sin and we turn from it, there's forgiveness. For the Christian, what does sin do in our lives? It breaks the fellowship with God. God said, I'm not going to lose you. I'm not going to cast you out. If it was based on a works relationship, absolutely, we're gone. Saved one day, lost the next day. Saved again, lost again. Back and forth. It's like a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. Are there some who have said they made a profession to Christ that walk away, that go back into the world? Yeah, but I don't think they were ever saved. John said in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us. Why did they leave? Because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. It wasn't that they left their church and went down the street to another church. There weren't that many churches in those days. What he was saying is they left the faith. They just left it. And the reason they left it is because they were never part of it. They were just here for what they can get. And when all of a sudden God didn't meet their needs or whatever, they just left because they were never part of us. Now, there are those that have a works relationship with God, and it's just work, 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 work. There's no love relationship. They never gave their heart to Jesus. They never asked him to be Lord and Savior. And if that's the reason, or that's the things you're doing for your salvation, you need to look at Matthew 7, because Jesus said, I never knew you. You do all this stuff for me, but I really never knew you. You're just working for me, or working, and you're saying you're working for me, but I never knew you. But for those who believe in Christ, who put their faith in Christ, we have the assurance and that confidence that we're going to spend eternity with him. Think about it. For Noah, what did God tell Noah to do? Build an ark, right? Then what? Well, Noah, if you want to get through this, you want to enter into the new life, I want you to put some pegs on the outside of that ark. There's going to be some tough times for you. And I want you to hold on to those pegs as tight as you can. And if you can make it through this, then you have eternal life. No. What did he say? Come into the ark. Who closed the door of the ark? Oh, God did. It was a pretty good-sized door. God closed Noah in. As Christians, we're in Christ, right? And we're saved, eternally speaking. I like that. In fact, you know, and we'll get to John chapter 10 in a few weeks here, but think about this. In John chapter 10, we're in the Father's hand, we're in God and Jesus' hand. How are we going to get out? We're not. It's kind of like being in the ark. We're secure. Who's going to snatch us out of God's hand? No one. He's God. I love that about our God. Jesus said, I give them eternal life in John chapter 10, and they shall never perish. What is eternal life? If we enter into eternal life, what is that? It's eternal life. It goes on forever. It's not like, I give you eternal life if you can hang in there. I give you eternal life. In fact, in the Greek, it's written in the middle voice, and they shall never do anything to cause themselves to perish. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. It's not worse. Then why is this a license for me to sin? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why don't I sin? Because I love the Lord. Why don't I cheat on my wife and do all these things to upset my wife? Because I love my wife. There's no laws on the wall that I'm aware of that say, Joe, you can't date other women. They don't have to be there because it's a love relationship. That's our relationship with God. I don't want to sin because I love my God so much and will never perish. Make no mistake about it, as I finish up here this morning, guys. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and we're in his hand, and no one's going to take us out. There is nothing else I can say except what Jesus said that we need to partake of. As he told the people and he's telling us, I am the bread of life. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for these words here. Because so often we're so focused on the physical, we miss the spiritual. And Lord, we need to draw close to you. For those that don't know you, Lord, they need to repent of their sins and ask you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. And for us, Lord, we need to partake of you every single day, to be in your word, to be open to your Spirit's leading, and to apply these things you've taught us to our lives. We thank you that you've saved us eternally, and that our salvation is based upon your finished work, not on my goodness, but your greatness. You're the good shepherd, you're the bread of life, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to grow and mature in you. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.